Steve. The best in regional sports from Southeast Michigan. WLEN Adrian, HD2, W243 AD, 96.5, The Cave.
And good evening. Welcome inside the Cave Studios here in Adrian, Michigan. It is time for Saints Sports Weekly. Jeff Bowman here with you on 96.5 The Cave, 965thecave.com. And it's a women's volleyball night here tonight on Saints Sports Weekly, brought to you by Siena Heights University and also Magic Fountain Auto Wash. And we've got Coach Kim Barrington in here with us tonight, along with one of her players, no longer a sophomore that's not counted on. She's a one that we need to count on this year. But Kinsey Wagner is with us as well. And Coach, good to have you in studio.
It's always great to be here, Jeff. Thank you.
Well, as you know, we were talking before the show, and when you were in here before, and you know, you're sitting in Fred's chair tonight, so you got some shoes to fill there for sure.
Big shoes.
That's right. But we talked about this upcoming season and the things that you were counting on, and you know, the Madonna that you tried to get over that hump, and how tough Indiana Tech was going to be, and you know, some of the schools and some of the things that you were, you know, kind of, you know, I can't say worried about, but it's one of those things that you think about. You know, your coach speak of always game by game by game, but you always know in the back of your mind, okay, if we want to be successful, these are the things we need to do. And you know, the Madonnas and Indiana Tech were those teams, and wow, you slayed the dragon this year against those two.
Well, I was a little irritated sitting here when we came in, because it's just that morning the announcements at CN Heights stated that our team was 1-4, which was our worst start in the history of my career at CN Heights. So I didn't really realize that, but when they printed it and I saw it, it didn't make me too happy. But,
yes.
You know, I had bigger plans, and certainly we had already talked as a team yet, and we talked about some of those goals of, you know, we had never beaten Madonna ever. We had beaten Indiana Tech at home, but not on the road. So those were at the top of our list. And
right.
You're right. Now we're to the point where we've beaten Madonna twice, and we also beat Indiana Tech on the road as well at home. And when I told Fred that we were going to beat Madonna and we were going to be one of the top teams in the conference, he kind of sat over here and kind of gave me that crooked look like, okay, Coach, you're 1-4 and you're telling me you're going to beat Madonna? You know, and you want to say, absolutely, Fred. And I'm so proud of our girls to, you know, be able to overcome, you know, or just get over those big hurdles.
Yeah, and those were hurdles. I mean, you know, legitimately. But you talked, too, about, you know, that was in your early days in coaching, that you had some of those other challenges that, you know, you were able to overcome. And then it was kind of – it is a lot of it once you get over that hump, you know, and a lot of – there's so much talk about it. But until you do it, until you realize it, you know, and we'll talk with Kinsey a little bit, we were kind of joking about – you know, can't be a sophomore anymore. You can't have that. You know, and those are the same things with us, those same expectations of, we can't always lose a Madonna. We got to be able to beat Indiana Tech on the road. And, you know, and those are things that you talk about, but until they happen, then you're going, okay, now we've done that. What else can we do next?
Absolutely. And we had some really tough matches against both those schools. We had lost in five sets, 17-15, 18-16, 15-13. So, you know, I knew that we could compete. We just needed to finish. And sometimes you're right. You have to, whether you talk them into it or convince them that they're good enough to do it or whatever. And eventually, you know, I think we did that. And I think, you know, Kinsey could talk about it. But I think they felt differently after they finally got that monkey off their back.
Well, and you talked about that night, too. And you just said it again about all the five-set games and stuff. You know, then the first one against Medina is 3-0. I mean, it wasn't even a worry about worrying about that fifth set and what's it going to come down to. You just took care of business.
That was the least number of attack errors that we had all season. And our first weekend when we opened up 1-3, we were having matches where we were having 30 and 40 attack errors.
Right.
And against Madonna, it was single digits. I believe it was nine attack errors in a three-set match, which is just incredible. You know. So then you ask yourself, well, gee, could we do that again? You know. And but you know, we've had, and then we went on that streak where we just kept beating our opponents in three
sweeps.
So they've done some pretty incredible things this season.
Did you sense a difference after that Madonna win in the girls themselves, too? I mean, not just you and thinking, wow, we did this, but could you see some different, you know, confidence in the ladies as well?
You know, I'm going to tell a story, and Kinsey hasn't heard this, but you know, what I noticed was shortly after that, their attention span went from about 30 seconds to about 15. So I'd call a timeout and I'd start my spiel. And about halfway through that, they'd turn around and walk back on the court. It's like, okay, I guess they got it. It's like, you know, whatever I was going to say, they've heard before. They already know it. They know it before I say it now. And, you know, I think just emotionally and mentally, they knew what they needed to do and they didn't need to hear it. And they turned around and walked away. So then after a timeout, then they would perform and execute. And I'm like, well, okay, I guess I can't get upset with them about not listening because they did get the message and they did do what we needed to do. So that was interesting. And I experienced that, you know, once and then twice and third time. I'm like, okay, I can't really say much because they are getting the job done. So
well,
that's what I noticed.
And you know, as a coach, and I've been around the, you know, not the volleyball game, but games long enough and sports long enough that sometimes – that timeout just needs to be a timeout. Sometimes it doesn't need to be a teaching timeout, or it's just a, hey, we got to stop something. Let's just regroup, refocus, and let's go back and go. And so probably more of that with the ladies going, we know. We just need to stop for a second and pause and hit the reset button, and we're ready to go.
Absolutely. And I think now most of the time if I do call timeout, they could probably imitate me and know what I'm going to say before I even say it.
But that's good. That means they are listening and they are learning and, you know.
But I feel better when I say it. Sometimes it just makes me feel better. I got
to
say
you
it.
You have to. Well, and it's just kind of like, you know, in the beginning when you said, you know, you that 1-4 thing was, you know, until you saw it and made it reality, it was like, nah, that's not true. And, oh, my gosh, it is. All right, how are we going to snap out of it?
Yeah.
But, you know, those things are going on. We're going to talk a little bit more about the season. But we've got quarterfinals you're hosting coming up against Aquinas. So
yes, tomorrow night, 7 p.m.
That's nice. And so where are you? I didn't look. Where are you seated?
Second.
Who's number one seed? Is it
Cornerstone? Who went undefeated 20-0 in conference this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how did so you lost 3-1 once against them, and then what's
3-1.
The second 3-1
and 3-1. We were up 22-19. I didn't finish the set.
Ooh,
that second time. So
maybe she needed another timeout.
Maybe
that might have been the match where I asked the official, "Are you sure I called two?"
I think so.
You mean I don't have another one sitting in my back pocket? Well, and I see they're ranked number 22. So are you guys getting any love at all in rankings?
You know, I know the call was this afternoon at 1 o'clock, so it'll be interesting to see if we do. You know, early on when we played some ranked opponents, we lost a couple of those matches, so we lost that opportunity to have those significant wins. So I don't know, we'll see. I'm not worried about that as much as, you know, just taking care of what we have to on Wednesday and advancing to the semis, you know, and finals Friday, Saturday.
Okay.
That'll take care of itself.
So you host the quarters, and then the semis and the finals are at
the highest remaining seed, which,
okay,
you know, should be Cornerstone.
Gotcha. And who do they have to face?
Number 8 seed, okay, which is Concordia.
Gotcha. All right. Well, so that means a trip and, you know, a hotel stay.
We have a good time when we go on the road.
It sounds like it'd be a fun. You guys are, you know, in seeing you at ZZ's and stuff, and, you know, the girls have fun. And I think that's what makes part of this, you know, a successful program as well, is when you can come in and you can know, you know, especially as Kinsey, when, you know, when you're starting out at freshman, sophomore, and playing more of that role of, okay, am I going to get some minutes or how am I going to be? But if the team around you kind of, you know, you're in that team, they accept you and you all have fun together. You know, I know win or lose, you definitely want to win more, but you know, you're part of something. Does that make it a lot more special? Especially to want to stay these next few years and make sure that you're kind of being a part of building that program.
Oh, definitely. I mean, the girls and I, like all of us, we have a great team chemistry, and I think that plays a big factor into how we play too. We all get along. We can be serious, like when we need to be on the court, but then we have our fun too. Like we'll be dancing on the bench, or we just have a great team chemistry that really
making TikTok videos.
Oh yeah.
Now I'll get to that then. You know, especially, you know, laughing and dancing. you know, I have a son and a daughter that they're, you know, adult children now, and I know how the difference between they were when it came to competing and doing different things too. How is that difference of, I mean, I know if you're more on my daughter's side from exactly what you said there as far as trying to coach and get them into, yes, there's that time to have that fun, but where do you, you know, okay, stop it for a second. We got to actually, this is a game too, and we got to play. Is it hard for you sometimes to get them to that, to say, okay, there's a serious moment, and here's your TikTok moment. How hard is that?
I think they read me pretty well. They know when I'm serious, and they sometimes I make them laugh unexpected times, yeah, and that's kind of fun. But I think they read me pretty well, and they have a good pulse of what's going on. So, mm-hmm. Kins?
No, I agree with that. I mean, in the beginning of the season, I think, because sometimes I can be a little goofy and do some fun things on the court, but, like, I think at the beginning of the season, you told me, you're like, hey, like, we know when to be serious. Like, we can have our fun and everything. And I think that we know when we can have fun and we know when it's time to take care of business.
Right.
And I think we do a pretty good job.
But there are also times when maybe things get a little bit too serious on the court. I could turn to Kinsey and say, all right, Kins, we need to have a little bit more fun.
Right.
Let's go get them, you know, get them laughing, be silly, and kind of lighten the moment too. So it goes both ways.
Yeah, and I think that's good to be able to have that dynamic as well where, you know, sometimes teams get so serious that they don't know how to relax a little bit. Yeah. And, you know, I think it's probably better and easier for a coach to have a looser team that you can kind of, all right, here, now let's get serious and go, as opposed to that team that's so laser-focused and can't control themselves to say, all right, I got to breathe for a minute. Because sometimes when it's that way, it's too hard to get them to kind of get that relaxed mode.
Sometimes you get that paralysis by analysis in that situation.
That's a hard thing, too.
Sure,
so
it's easier to play when you're loose.
Yeah. Well, you know, you talked about that streak you had for a little bit there, and Kins, did you feel some pressure during that to say, you know, we don't want to lose, we want to keep this thing going, or was it just truly a game-by-game situation?
I mean, we got to take every game by game, but I think we didn't really focus too much on the streak.
Okay.
We just focused on we have a job to do, and we're still proving ourselves with every game. Just because we have a streak, it doesn't mean anything. We just still got to prove ourselves with every game, every point, and we continue to do that.
So you're a junior now, and we talked jokingly about, you know, you know, the team last year that lost a lot, and now, you know, the younger members have to step up, and you can't have that excuse anymore of, well, I'm a reserve, I'm a sophomore, I'm a freshman, and, you know, you have to get into that moment. Did you feel that coming into this year, or was it kind of partway through the season where you kind of realized that, all right, I'm needed. You know, I am one that needs to step up a little bit. I can't go. There's somebody that I have to, you know, I can kind of rely on them. It's more I have to be the one that people behind me go, okay, she needs to push it. So did you come into that season having that, or did you kind of gradually take that role over?
I think I came into the season knowing that. I mean, we had some injuries early on in the season, and so I knew, like, this is – like, I need to step up now. And I think I had a conversation with a couple of the other girls that we need to, like, step it up and, like, help each other out and focus on that. And I think we knew from the beginning, honestly.
Did you sense that from some of the girls that are returning?
You know, one thing we talk about is just doing your job. And if we just focus on doing your job, things tend to fall into place. I think the getting them over the hurdle, that understanding that they need to do their job, not 9 out of 10 times, but 99 out of 100 times.
Right.
And it's easy to take a mental break or a physical break or whatever, but the ball always seems to go to the person taking a break. So I think that's the hurdle. And then I think we found out early on, the harder we work, the easier things get. So if you're doing your job and working hard, things get a little bit easier. And juniors tend to understand that.
I like that the harder you work, the easier things get. That's a good way to...
In volleyball, it's really true.
And as you said, you know, if you're relaxing, man, that ball's going to find you. Just it's inevitable in most sports like that. It just seems, you know, as the story goes, and, you know, ball don't lie, and it doesn't a lot of times. It's like, oh, yes, that happened, doesn't it?
And our sport is most people only see what happens or what a person is doing when they contact the ball and the immediate time after that. But the preparation that goes into the 3 seconds prior to the ball is so much more important. And that's what the average spectator doesn't see. And that's the time that's coaching-wise we have to get people prepared for and get in a better position, whether it be physically or on the court. And those are the times that we've got to get our athletes focused on, especially as youngsters coming into the program, because, you know, you go from high school to college, everything happens faster.
Right.
So you have to be prepared prior to contact.
And that's, you know, I was more of a baseball person and coached a lot of that too, and it was always one of the things that, you know, tried to drill into some of the players were, you know what you're going to do with the ball before you even get it. And that's probably very true for the volleyball side because it happens so quick. Things happening so fast that you really need to have that mindset to be, okay, you know, I'm here, kind of that same thing with, you know, the game situation, what's the score, where we're at, what do we got to do, but at the same time knowing, all right, if it's hit to me, you know, unless I just have to have a save type of a thing just to keep a rally going, what am I going to do with that? You know, how are you going to get it to the setter? How are you, you know, is that something for you that is so critical, is kind of that mindset of knowing what's going to happen when it's going to be hit to you?
I mean, yeah, sometimes, especially, well, if when I'm hitting, I don't always premeditate what I'm going to do because I feel like that's when I tend to ease up a little bit about what I'm going to do. And even coach will call me out on it and saying, like, you knew you're going to tip that ball even before you even touched it. But I just got to see what's in front of me, and then it's more of just a reaction and a quick thinking.
Right.
But
so, yeah, you need to know.
Like,
is the middle blocker the bigger blocker? Is the pin blocker the bigger blocker?
So you premeditate those things.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, are the weaker defenders on my right side or the weaker defenders on my left side?
Right.
So you know what your options are prior to contact.
And which is so interesting because, as you said, you know, the average fan is not going to see some of that. But, you know, you watch a Monday Night Football game and you'll hear the quarterback pointing out where the Mike linebacker is or where, you know, they're knowing, okay, this is what we see. And this is how we're going to try to take advantage of that. And that's in your head, okay, you know, is the left side tougher, right side? Mm-hmm. I was a middle blocker. So, you know, those are things in your mind you're already, you know, have that.
Yeah, we have those premeditations in our mind, yep.
And I guess,
how do they not know that the ball is going to go to Cooper Kupp?
Right.
How do they not know that?
Yeah, exactly.
Those types of things, yeah.
But that's comes down to coaching, though, as well. You know, you love to have probably the girls you're recruiting and they come in have a lot of that innate sense already. But it is something that you've probably during drills and different things that they do that it's already you want to make it as second nature as you can to them probably.
Exactly. Kinsey's job as a middle blocker is to block wherever they set. Well, that's 30 foot side to side.
Right.
You know, and things happen really quickly. So that's what we talked to them about in this rotation. Who is their first option? Who do they want to set first? And then what type of set do they want to set them? Who's their second option? Who's their third option? Who's the first tempo? Who's the second tempo? What order do I have to block in? So there's a lot of things to think about prior to, you know, the pass or the serve. And that's where freshman blockers, middle blockers stand there and go. And if you just watch the ball, you miss everything.
Right. Yeah, you don't have time to get caught just flat-footed. It doesn't work very well, does it? Oh, goodness. All right, well, we're going to take a quick time out and talk a little bit about the season and some of the nice things that have happened with you this year, and then talk a little bit about what's going to happen next, too. And then we do have an alumni guest we're going to call probably in the last segment of the show. So we'll be back with more Saint Sports Weekly, Jeff Bowman, along with Kinsey Wagner from Siena Heights and Coach Kim Barrington. And again, thank you to Siena Heights University and also Magic Fountain. Auto Wash will be back with more right up to this here on 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.
The top online bachelor's degree program in Michigan is now offering a completely online MBA degree. The Siena Heights University MBA will help students hone skills and better develop their talents as ethical business innovators. Business graduates, as well as students from many other majors, including nursing and engineering, are good candidates for the Siena Heights MBA. And no prerequisite entry courses are required. Classes are enrolling now. To find out more, visit start.sienaheights.edu/MBA. Learn what the Siena Effect can do for you.
Here's a great driving tip. Avoid muddy, dirty roads, roads under construction, or really just anything that can make your vehicle dirty. Plain and simple. But if you can't, you must never avoid Magic Fountain Auto Wash. At Magic Fountain Auto Wash, you can save your vehicle from all the damage from that dirt and grime. Why allow the Michigan roads the chance to reduce the value of your vehicle when it can be prevented? Magic Fountain Auto Wash, with self-serve bays and touchless drive-through, 3 locations in Adrian, Hudson, and Britton. Make dirty cars a thing of the past.
At Siena Heights University, we make transferring easy and ensure you're on your best path forward. Study online with our nationally ranked program, or commute from home and get the traditional college experience by taking courses on our Adrian campus. Financial aid may be available, and ask us about our Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. Stay home, save money, and finish your degree with Siena Heights University. Visit sienaheights.edu and find out what the Siena Effect can do for you.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Hi, this is Marty Nine with IAT Insurance in Blissfield. Give me a call at 517-486-4381.
Looking for a place to host your next party, meeting, reunion, or reception? Let Siena Heights University be your local event destination. Siena Heights has facilities for almost every occasion and budget. Air-conditioned Benincasa Hall has seating for up to 250 people and is perfect for wedding receptions, anniversaries, and reunions. Need a special space for a birthday party? Dominican Hall provides large party rooms and a 125-seat auditorium for viewing videos and hosting a wide variety of entertainment. Have a smaller event? Siena Heights offers a variety of affordable, customized spaces on campus to fit your needs. Be sure to reserve your space now because all facilities are subject to availability. Siena Heights has also partnered with nationally recognized Chartwells to provide a delicious and wide-ranging menu of catering services, giving you a one-stop solution for your special occasion. To reserve your space or to learn more information about all the facility options at Siena Heights University, contact events at sienaheights.edu or visit sienaheights.edu/events. Siena Heights University, where Lenawee County meets.
And welcome back inside Cave Studios. Jeff Bowman here with you, Saints Sports Weekly. And we're talking a little volleyball tonight with Coach Kim Barrington and also Kinsey Wagner. And Kim's a local, too. She's a Wildcat from Onsted. So what kind of got you at Siena and sticking around local? What was one of the first things that you really, you know, besides coach, got you interested in Siena Heights?
I mean, a big thing is that my grandparents have done a lot for me with volleyball. They've come to all my travel games. They've always supported me throughout high school. So staying local and knowing that they can still be there every game and they're still there every game to support me. So that was a big thing for me, just being close to them. And then even my family can come to every game. And so just the support. And it's been amazing when I've traded for the world.
And you're a nursing student, correct?
Yes.
So that's a great degree especially for women's athletics at CN. I mean, I know there's men in the program, but primarily that is more women than men probably in that, especially here locally. So that's got to help for you when you're out on a recruiting trail, coach, to be able to offer some of the different majors that you have.
Yeah, nursing is one of the most difficult programs on campus, and really on any campus. It's very demanding,
right,
academically, with all the anatomies, biologies, et cetera. You have to keep your grade point average up because there's only so many seats to get admitted to the program. And then you have all your clinicals. So there's a lot of colleges, both small and large, that you cannot be an athlete and be in the nursing program. So the fact that we've had so many, complete it, pass their exams the first try and are out actually working in the field and doing amazing things. I mean, I'm really proud of those players.
Is that one thing you wanted, when you came to Siena, or did you kind of gravitate towards the nursing side?
Yeah, no, that was one of the big things coming in, too, is because I could do nursing and play volleyball at the same time. And I know we have, like, six other teammates or something like that are also nursing majors. And so knowing that I could do what I wanted to do after college and do what I wanted to do during college at the same time was a big deal for me. And the program here is great as well.
Yeah, it is. So some memories from this season for you, and we'll talk to Coach in a minute, but what are some of the big things that stand out from this season so far for you personally?
I mean, obviously the win against Madonna, that was a great win. I think that just gave us a whole new level of confidence as well. And also winning against almost like every other team and keeping that streak going, I think it just made us physically and mentally stronger. And so I think every single win, I think, has been a great memory, but definitely that Madonna win, that had something to it.
Well, that's good. I would definitely know that Coach was preaching that then a little bit. But again, as a program, that is, there's those, teams out there. We always talk with a lot of the athletes that come in and say, we know you want to win everything, but what is that, who's that big rival team? And so obviously Madonna and, Indiana Tech on the road too is the other one. But is that true? I mean, then, Cornerstone's got to be out there too, knowing that they're such a powerhouse all the time.
Oh yeah, I think every team we play, we want to beat. But there's just those certain teams that we're just like, okay, like, let's go, like, this is it.
I think this team really has done a fabulous job of taking one match at a time. Mm-hmm. Really one set at a time. And that's really difficult to do over 20 matches, conference matches, but then also in the situation where we were sweeping people, but that wasn't anything we ever really talked about or hung our hat on. We just wanted, again, to just play our best, play what we call Saint ball,
right,
and do our jobs. And, good things happened when we did those things. And then when the match was over, all right, great job. We talked about it for a few minutes. All right, on to the next team, on to the next scouting report, on to the next practice to get prepared for our next opponent.
Now, is Concordia, I know in some of the other sports, Concordia is kind of just a natural little geographic rival. Does that help a little bit there, too? Do you guys have much? I know, especially, with football being both new teams at kind of the same time, that kind of, really affected them as a big rival. But sometimes those spill out. Does that happen a little bit with the Concordia?
It hasn't yet.
Okay.
Maybe at first when I first came here, the coach at Concordia was one of my former players. So I told my teams that we're not, not losing to a former player, that type of thing. But she's no longer there. They have a new coach. As far as local, we always have the crosstown rival with Adrian.
Right.
But we also have a little rivalry, I think, with Spring Arbor.
Okay.
They're just down the road, and we tend to play club with a lot of their players, and a lot of their players are from Lenawee Christian, and so there's some of those familiarities. And it just, those first few years, it seemed like it didn't matter whether our program was doing really well or theirs. We had these knockdown, drag-out five-game battles with them, and it just kind of become this little rivalry that we know that we've got to play well to beat. And there's been a lot of five-gamers.
Well, the nice thing about that, too, is you have it's not a conference game. So, I mean, you love to go in there and beat them, but you want to play well, and that's probably, whatever happens, though, it's going to make you a better team.
Right.
And those are kind of those are the great non-conference games you want to find, are those ones that make you better.
Right, and their coach, Betsy, is a very good coach, and I respect her quite a bit. And I want those non-conference matches, I want to play teams that are well-coached,
mm-hmm.
you know, that are a challenge for us. And also, you know, we'll work together. They had a homecoming match. I think somebody backed out on him, and she called me and said, hey, Kim, will you come over? We need to play somebody on homecoming. I'm like, sure, I'm going to help her out and do that type
right.
of thing.
It's nice to have those kind of friendly rivals.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Perfect. Well, I know this is another year, too. We were talking earlier in the season, too, when you came in, that looking at this, ahead at the schedule, you get to play up at Cliff Keen this year, too. So was that, how was that for you, Ken, as a player, to walk into Cliff Keen and be able to play a match there?
It was pretty surreal. I'm pretty big into D1 college volleyball myself. I follow all of that. And so walking in, me and my other teammate, we saw some of the players walk by. We were... just being able to play in that facility, we were looking at each other and we were like, wow, this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, never thought I'd be able to do this, but it was a great experience.
Because I know there's sometimes when, you know, especially you, Coach, you can talk to this a little bit too, as, you know, as a club coach or club ball, you may get to play in some of those venues, but it's still different because it's kind of a club tournament still, and it's not set up like it is sometimes when you have your normal match. So to walk in and have it set up just for you, not for some club tournament going on, it is a little different, different atmosphere.
And it is a nice setting for volleyball. It's very intimate, and the fans right. are right there, and it was a pretty special night.
And it is. That's, you know, because instead of sitting in a gymnasium with, you know, the stands be kind of side you – you're right up on top of people there at Cliff Keen, so it is kind of a different type of atmosphere than you're used to playing in. Was the crowd pretty good there? Did you have some Siena folks? Or
we had quite a few Siena people. Yeah. We've had a lot of our parents, fans, friends, men's team. A lot of people travel and really support us.
Yeah, I mean, we always have those loyal Siena Heights fans.
Right.
I mean, mainly our parents that traveled every game, but... they're always there to support us, and you can hear them from the stands, and it's always great to have them there.
But you talked, too, about, you know, the atmosphere at home, how you get a nice crowd coming to your home volleyball games.
I think we have the best crowds on campus, and I know some of the other athletes said, geez, you guys have some great crowds, and I think we're a fun team to watch. I think it's a fun atmosphere, and I think that, you know, the level of athletes always surprises people about how fast the ball is and how we fly over the floor and just what we're able to do, get up and, you know, pound the ball right back at them.
And I think that's what's great about volleyball, that it is such a fast-paced game. You know, I mean, it's great rallies and then, okay, let's stop for a second, but the next one's coming. It's fun. It's not like you're coming down and stalling, waiting 30 seconds to shoot or things like that. I mean, it's a different game. And when you actually go watch it live in person too, you're amazed at how, as you talk about, hitting the ball and how hard. And
you can
how,
hear when somebody really rips it. There's a difference in the sound of the ball when somebody makes really good contact.
Yeah.
And even when there's a dig, when it's a big dig, it's a different sound. And there were a couple of those this past weekend. And, you know, it bounced off of Peyton's arms and the crowd would just go, ooh. I mean, it's just and I think it's a reaction to the sound more than anything.
Well, and it is something that is – it's such an athletic. You have to do so many different things. And I do think, especially because it's one of those sports, too, that not everybody always played. It's not like in gym class, everybody always played volleyball. So it is, it's kind of a unique sport in that aspect, is it's a little bit kind of, it's more foreign to a lot of people because it's not something that is just, you don't usually just walk outside and, hey, let's go play volleyball. I mean, you do have the few, but it's not as readily, you know, available to just go, let's go do it.
As a volleyball coach, we're sitting around a lot of times, we'll say we're lucky or we're glad that every father of our players didn't play volleyball, you know, in gym class and think that they know what our libero is supposed to be doing or who our setter should be setting. And so there's some relief there, too.
A gentleman I got to know fairly well that was a very good hockey player and a hockey coach. And his son started playing lacrosse, and they started lacrosse at that school and asked him to coach because he'd coached all these other sports. And he said the first few years of coaching lacrosse at the high school level was the funnest he ever had because nobody knew anything about the game. And so he could just coach, and the parents were back there just cheering because they didn't have the knowledge or
they didn't think they knew
the knowledge that they thought they had to be able to try to tell the coach how to do it. So, yeah, you see that probably, you know, you don't have, especially in a state like Michigan where you don't have men's volleyball, where, yeah, you got a lot of dads that probably are vocal dads that are athletic dads that go, hey, I'll cheer for you because I really don't know. And they can't yell at you, coach, because they don't know the nuances of the game.
We just laugh when they try to yell at the officials.
That is funny, though.
They look and say, oh, dad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's, before we have to take a break and get to our alumni guest again. So we've got Aquinas coming up. What, you know, I was looking back. They've got a decent record against you in the past. So, you know.
Historically, they've been a very strong program. And again, we've had trouble with them on the road. For whatever reason, that's what seems like to be our long trip when we play Cornerstone Aquinas. It's always been two very good programs, you know. So whether it's, you know, fatigue or two different scouting reports or they're both very good, who knows? But we haven't done well on the road at both of those schools. So that reflects in the record.
Gotcha.
This year we've beaten them twice, and I think our ball control is stronger. I think our setting is stronger. We just need to pass well so we can run our offense, and I think we'll be okay.
And again, not being somebody that's, you know, overly familiar with the game, having not played it or anything, you know, I love watching it. But, you know, talking about passing well and doing anything, because it's one of those sports that, you know, you really rely on how they hit it to you to be able to make your adjustment and what you can do offensively. You know, so it's not like, you know, you're in tennis, you know, and this is volleyball. Yes, you're serving it to them, but you have to react to what they do, and then you still have to play your game adjusting to what they do. So, I mean, where is that?
Well, that's
is it
that
how you serve to make them?
Serving is way more in people than more important than what people think. We
right.
say that serving is our first line of defense. And people kind of look at me like, isn't serving offense? No. Because if we serve tough enough and we get an ace, that's really good. If
right.
we serve tough enough and their setter has to move off the net, 10, 15 foot off the net, their offense changes tremendously. And we're much more likely to predict who they're going to set to so that we could get a double or triple block on. If the set is on the net, if the pass is on the net, then they have all three front row options plus a back row option. Kinsey's standing there as a middle blocker going,
right, which way do I go?
Which way do I go? Which way do I go?
Right.
Where if we limit their choices because they have a weaker passer, it makes our defense much easier. So therefore, a good tough serve is the first line of our defense because it helps our blockers, helps our back
row. Right.
And we get usually a slower attack, then we're more easily to have a better dig and we could have run our offense faster.
Yeah, I mean, it forces that opposing team, you know, to do something they're not.
Which we call out of system.
Exactly.
Out of system.
So they just have to get it over, hopefully, so they're not losing a point there and thinking they can get a chance to get it back. But
on the other hand, if we serve easy, we call it a lollipop. If we serve a lollipop, then we tend to...
You're in trouble.
Get licked.
Yeah.
We eat it because they have every option.
Right.
You know, every first tempo option, and it's really tough to defend. So you can't just serve it in.
Right.
That's where, you know, some of the dads are like, put it in, put it in. We can't... at this level, you just can't serve a lollipop.
Right. Yeah. You have to rely on them. I mean, it's kind of, again, that's the, you know, going back to some baseball, I mean, that's the pitcher and the batter there. You're trying to make them feel uncomfortable hitting. You're trying to make them feel uncomfortable having to return
right.
that serve
and
that you just
pitcher,
set over there.
You know which batters don't like the high fastball. You know which batters don't like the,
right.
you know, the low inside.
And your scouting report goes, okay, where do I,
exactly.
and how do I serve to that person that's going to be receiving. So that's key to you.
Yes. That's why I love watching film and figuring out how to beat whoever
yes.
we're playing the next match.
And it's film. Did you get that?
Oh yeah.
I love that. It's funny because that we joke about, you know, taping or recording or, you know, and all this, but as coaches go still, you know, you want to put stuff on film, you want to put stuff on tape, even though there's really no film or tape anymore. It's always, but that's just.
It's digital. How do we say it?
I know, that's the thing, but it's always funny.
We need a new term.
But everybody knows what you're talking about when you say that, though, when you do it. You know, hey, you know, oh, we got some good tape on them. Yeah. Do you? That's great. Where are we going to play it at? Oh, that's funny. But again, you just have to play your game to be successful.
We do. There's certain things that we do well, and there's certain things that we try to avoid. But, you know, and I think if you asked any of my players what St. Paul meant, they could probably list off four or five things that we hang our hat on every match, or at least try to.
Well, I know, you know, the number one seed is Cornerstone sitting on the other side, but who is on the other side of the bracket for you to get to that semis if you get past Aquinas?
Indiana
or I should
Tech.
Say when you get past Aquinas.
Indiana Tech.
Oh, nice.
We just had a knockdown, drag out match with.
Now, is there a winning tournament getting to the Nationals? Is it only the winning team, or how does that?
Cornerstone has already secured a bid because they won the conference.
Okay.
And at this point, the winner of our conference gets a bid. But if Cornerstone wins the conference, then it would be whomever they play in the finals.
Okay. Gets the second.
Gets
so you do
second.
Get two bids.
Yes, we get two
out
bids.
Of the whack. Okay. So. That's nice.
So all I'm worrying about is Wednesday.
I know. I completely understand. And, Kenzie, you should say the same thing because that's all you're worried about,
but
right?
We have an opportunity. There's a bid out there that we have an opportunity for.
And that's always that carrot, though, too. I mean, you know, again, as a coach and as a player, you want to make sure, you know, you can't look ahead because, you know, you don't get there by just looking ahead. You have to play the game in front of you. But knowing that there is something out there to play for does make it a little easier, too, to maybe stay focused and say, okay, we got to keep our eye on the prize, which is out there, but we got to make sure we get there. That's the key, getting there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, we know what's out there. We know what could happen. But at the same time, it's game by game.
Right.
Point by point. We just got to take care of things on our side of the net, take care of the game. And it's just, if we keep doing what we're doing, keep playing St. Paul, then there's great things out there for us to achieve. But, we're not done. That's all I have to say. We're not done.
Perfect. All right, well, we got to take a break so we can make a phone call. As we've got, it's Alini, right?
Alini, yes.
Alini Marinello?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to give her a jingle and talk a little bit about what she's doing now and how Coach made her successful after playing volleyball as well. We'll be back with more Saint Sports Weekly here, 96.5 The Cave, 965thecave.com.
Want to stay home and finish your degree? One of the top online programs in the nation is right in your backyard. Siena Heights University offers affordable online undergraduate and graduate degree programs, as well as on-ground classes on our Adrian campus for those who want to commute. Financial aid may be available, and ask us about our Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. Stay home, save money, and finish your degree with Siena Heights University. Find out more at siennaheights.edu.
Here's a great driving tip. Avoid muddy, dirty roads. Roads under construction or really just anything that can make your vehicle dirty. Plain and simple. But if you can't, you must never avoid Magic Fountain Auto Wash. At Magic Fountain Auto Wash, you can save your vehicle from all the damage from that dirt and grime. Why allow the Michigan roads the chance to reduce the value of your vehicle when it can be prevented? Magic Fountain Auto Wash with self-serve bays and touchless drive-through. Three locations in Adrian, Hudson, and Britton. Make dirty cars a thing of the past.
At Siena Heights University, we make transferring easy and ensure you're on your best path forward. Study online with our nationally ranked program or commute from home and get the traditional college experience by taking courses on our Adrian campus. Financial aid may be available, and ask us about our Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. Stay home, save money, and finish your degree with Siena Heights University. Visit sienaheights.edu and find out what the Siena Effect can do for you.
Looking for a place to host your next party, meeting, reunion, or reception? Let Siena Heights University be your local event destination. Siena Heights has facilities for almost every occasion and budget. Air-conditioned Benincasa Hall has seating for up to 250 people and is perfect for wedding receptions, anniversaries, and reunions. Need a special space for a birthday party? Dominican Hall provides large party rooms and a 125-seat auditorium for viewing videos and hosting a wide variety of entertainment. Have a smaller event? Siena Heights offers a variety of affordable, customized spaces on campus to fit your needs. Be sure to reserve your space now because all facilities are subject to availability. Siena Heights has also partnered with nationally recognized Chartwells to provide a delicious and wide-ranging menu of catering services, giving you a one-stop solution for your special occasion. To reserve your space or to learn more information about all the facility options at Siena Heights University, contact events at siennaheights.edu or visit siennaheights.edu/events. Siena Heights University, where Lenawee County meets.
The top online bachelor's degree program in Michigan is now offering a completely online MBA degree. The Siena Heights University MBA will help students hone skills and better develop their talents as ethical business innovators. Business graduates, as well as students from many other majors, including nursing and engineering, are good candidates for the Siena Heights MBA. And no prerequisite entry courses are required. Classes are enrolling now. To find out more, visit start.siennaheights.edu/MBA. Learn what the Siena Effect can do for you.
And welcome back to Saints Sports Weekly. Jeff Bowman here with you inside the Cave Studios. Thank you to Magic Fountain Auto Wash and Siena Heights University. And once again, it is a volleyball night, and we're going to bring in one of Coach Barrington's former players, Alini Marinello. Alini, good to have you in Saints Sports Weekly tonight.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Well, awesome. So, ask Coach now. When did you graduate? 2 years ago?
No, it was last December.
A year ago. Just a year ago. Wow. And so, what are you? You were moving on with your life. So, what are you doing right now then?
I'm currently in Pennsylvania, Lititz, Pennsylvania, working in an accounting in the accounting department. And a company down here in Pennsylvania.
Great. Now, because you are from Brazil, so you're looking to obviously stay in the States then.
Yeah, well, my work is working on my work visa, and hopefully that work moves and we can stay long term.
There you go. Well, one of the things we always talk about with some of the former players, the alumni that we have coming in here with the alumni spotlight is, you know, how they got to Siena and what it meant to them. So, you know, being a international student from Brazil, how did you first find out about Siena Heights University?
There, it's a funny story because apparently Siena Heights was in my life since I was kind of 14, all the way back in Brazil. Camila, it's one of the coach that coach had worked with before. She went to Brazil with an American team, and I was playing just in my team there. I was young. She saw me playing, mentioned about coming to America one day. I was like, oh, that's a good idea. 9 years later, I came to America as an au pair just to learn English, ended up in Michigan, and was playing for fun. Coach found me, and I started contacting Camila again and say, hey, I want to play volleyball. Like, do you stay in the area? Camila's like, I'm not in the area anymore. I'm back in Brazil, but I know who would love to talk to you. And then I got coach contact, and that's how everything started.
That's awesome. Well, Coach, how was it to get a phone call from her and then find out what kind of player she was, too?
Oh, you know, when Alina came to the United States, she was out east. She was being an au pair out east. And the fact that her second contract, she ended up in Michigan, not just in Michigan, in Ann Arbor, was crazy to me, because Camila was telling me about her. And she's like, oh, she's in Michigan somewhere. I'm like, well, where is somewhere? And then when she said Ann Arbor, I'm like, that's our backyard. I have to see her.
Right.
You know, so it all came together, you know, kind of mysteriously. You know, but, you know, she's 6'1". She's 6', you know, maybe a little bit taller. And she's Brazilian, so you know she could ball.
Right.
You know, so we just had to, she was had, you know, been a little out of shape and a little rusty. You know, we just had to get her, you know, trained up a little bit and, and watch her blossom. And it was a lot of fun.
Well,
yeah, I remember Coach Day, and you know, you're out of shape, but I see potential. I can work with it.
That's awesome. Well, tell us a little bit about your experiences at Siena Heights, and how it kind of shaped you to where you're at right now.
Siena was great, not just the volleyball aspect of it, but school-wise, teachers, and every single professional that work in that campus are always willing to help and be there for you, especially being foreigner, alone in the town. I just felt that I had a second home and family there. So that was just awesome. I recommend it to everybody that asked me about Siena. I'm like, it's a wonderful college, and especially if the coach. Most of people go to Siena looking for Coach Kim.
Well,
yeah.
It's you know, that's pretty cool experience how you're able to get that, but and end up at Siena Heights. But you know, you said alone as an international student, but there are, you know, between the soccer and some of the other volleyball, there are a few international students on campus. Did you find that you know, you had some similarities with some of the other foreign students on campus?
Oh, for sure. Siena does a great job with the international club. So we had an international club at campus that gets together once a week, and we had each other's phone number. We were always hanging out to make that, you know, transition easier. And we also always welcome the American folks that was also part of our friendship. So that connection, it was great.
I know we always talk with some of the soccer guys about having dinner nights and stuff with some of their home cooked meals. Is that something where you're able to kind of get in on some of that, or teach some of your players some of the your Brazilian specialties?
Oh, for sure. I had the pleasure of having two roommates from the team on my last year. And that's basically all that we did. They still make Brazilian hot dogs and sending me pictures.
So what is a Brazilian hot dog? I'm a hot dog fan, so you got to explain that one to me.
So a Brazilian hot dog is a little more incorporated. We have mashed potato. It's a bread with mashed potato, and then you have the hot dog with pasta sauce. Some people put peas and corn and pico de gallo and potato stick, mayo, you know, you just build it up.
Is there a hot dog in there actually?
Right.
Yeah,
almost.
You can also put a shredded chicken on top of the hot dog. You can get creative.
Okay, I might have to look that up, but I'm not sure. I'm more of just a more traditional hot dog guy than all the other stuff with it. But I wouldn't be, you know... I would probably try it. That's for sure. But so you were in.
Yeah, it's definitely not a pregame meal, but, you know, after you win a match, you're allowed to have that one.
It sounds like, yeah, you could very easily carb load on that, that's for sure. So you majored in accounting, and is that what you're doing now then, working for an accounting company?
Correct. I work with a music company here in Lititz. We are a global corporation that we make our own speakers, and we go on tour with musicians to build the whole stage up for them. And I got the job in the accounting department for them, and it has been amazing.
So what do you think of that part of the country? I mean, again, you started out east, came to Michigan, and now you're somewhere in Pennsylvania. How is that suiting you compared to, you know, your years here in Adrian?
They have, like, similarities. I say that I always moved from a lot of different places, but I always kept this small-sized town. So Lititz, it's like Adrian in the size, but it's not a college town, so it's different for sure.
Questions, Coach, at all?
I think the biggest thing that seniors look forward to is having some extra change in their pockets so they could go to a movie or go on a little shopping spree. Have you enjoyed becoming a young professional and not having to worry? When Alini was here, she would work 2 and 3 jobs at a time as an international and still get a 4.0, so she was pretty impressive. So is it nice just to have a little change in your pocket and work one job?
Coach, that's amazing. I don't even know what to do with my time, to be honest with you. I have a full-time job, and I get home, and I'm like, I feel like I should be doing something. I don't have homework anymore to do at night, neither other jobs. It's been nice to have that flexibility and the reward of, you know, you went through the school, you had to work 3 jobs and study and go to games. But it's very rewarding to get a good job and just enjoy that moment.
Well, especially, I mean, you came over as an au pair to kind of learn the language and help out with you later in life, not expecting probably to stick around and go to college here. So that's got to be quite a different experience for you. And you know, talk about life-changing. That's incredibly life-changing.
That was definitely a surprise in my life. I remember my first day of class. I had a principal of accounting 1, and I got out of class and went to coach, and I just cried. I was like, I can't understand 1 word of what she's saying. I don't think I can do this. I have no idea what she's saying. But in the end, it worked out.
And in the end, you ended up academic all-WAC as well as first team all-WAC. You were amazing, Alini.
Yes, I appreciate it. I had great support from my teammates, you, coach, and the school for sure.
Yeah, that's very, very impressive. I couldn't even imagine having to go to a different country, learn a new language, and be able to still succeed the way you did. So that's very, very impressive. Again, congratulations on that, and you know, good luck with everything that you have going on, and you know, getting to stay here in the U.S. and kind of maybe be able to make your life here.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're very, very welcome. Once again, that's Alini Marinello on Saints Sports Weekly here on the Alumni Spotlight. So thank you very much to her. And, Coach, we got just about 40 seconds left. You know, again, Aquinas tomorrow night. Is that a 7 o'clock?
7 o'clock start.
Okay. And then it goes, win that, you go Friday, Saturday?
To Cornerstone, yes.
More than likely.
Yes, more than likely, yes.
Yeah. So you get
we'll be ready.
Tough volleyball ahead of you, but again, congratulations on the season that you had. I know, again, early in the year when you first came in here, you had some lofty things that you wanted to accomplish, and you know, you've had a great time being able to probably, you know, put most of those things that you thought in front of you are behind you now.
We did a lot of firsts, you know, 18-2 in the conference, set a lot of records, so we're pretty excited and looking forward to our next hurdles.
That just means that, again, that bar is being built higher and
yes,
higher all
is.
The time. That's awesome.
A message I had for the team today.
There you go. All right. Well, again, Coach, thank you very much. We appreciate your time, and good luck tomorrow night.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right.
It's always a pleasure.
Saints Sports Weekly here, 96.5 The Cave, 965thecave.com. And keep it tuned. We got some Monday Night Football coming up in a bit right here on 96.5 The Cave.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Well, Rocket can. It's time for a week 9 edition of